So let me see whether the other have connections. Then we go further with the recording. I was here and I think I need to make the presentation mode. What I forgot to say, I think, is that these are the certified information security audit. This is a certification you could do as a practitioner. So usually you have a couple certification when you work as information security officer. You have a CISA for making COVID audits, and you have a CISSP. CISSP is a professional edu. Professional computer certified information security system security professional certification. This is another certification from ISSA. The organization is ISSA, which donates, sponsors this. This is ISACA, which sponsors this. And usually they are also audited, and you can make the lead auditor, $27,000. Then you can audit according to 27,000 frameworks, and most CISO have those three certification. And there is also baseline protection manual from BSI, German Security Agency. They have also a certification that you can audit according to this framework. these are typical educational or personal certifications you might have, and I think this is good when you do such things. So we were COVID-5, and we were on this page here, control objective for information and related technology. INCOP is a series of enables to sort the principles. So policy and frameworks are the vehicle to translate desired behavior into practical guidance, day-to-day management, same as we had before. Processes describe an organized set of practices and activities to achieve certain objectives and produce a set of outputs in support of achieving overall security. So processes, it's a managerial framework, and organizational structure are key decision-making and guidance in the enterprise. So processes and organizational structure, this is more from the governance side coming. Then they value culture, ethics, and behavior of individuals and of the enterprise are very often underestimated as a success factor in governance and management activities. And you know, this cultural and ethic behavior, this is a special thing. Many people doing business know that there is nothing like a cultural ethic which is overspanning worldwide. So when you have a Norwegian ethic and a French ethic, it would be completely different. When you make an incident reporting entity in Norway, it's perfectly fine. In France, it's against the peer rules that you whistleblow peers, and you are not allowed to do it. So these ethical codes, it's not all U.S. ethics, and it's really bit difficult. Information is required for keeping the organization running and governance, but at the operational level, information is very often the key product of the enterprise itself. And we know this, without information, companies do not run. But many people overestimate the value of information security. In our last meeting of the Swiss Information Security Officer, we learned information security in the corporate risk landscape of the corporate risk manager is not on the top 10 ranking places. Imagine. Most of us think, oh, information security is most important. The reason that C-level people cannot sleep is completely different. They have regulatory risk, they have market risk, they have product strategy risk, competition risks, and this is why they don't sleep, and not information security. And even if there are 50 million kroner lost for DNB, who cares? But if they lose a large customer or things like that, this is the important thing. So just to reframe this a little bit. Service infrastructure and application include the infrastructure technology application that provide the enterprise with information security processing services. I think this is just natural. So I think you understand this. COSO is another framework. It's a private sector initiative formed in 1985. And the major goal is to identify the factors that cause fraudulent financial reporting and to make recommendations to reduce its incidence. COSO has established a common definition of internal controls, and this is very important. It's primary in respect to internal control standards and criteria and helps organizations comply with the critical regulation like Sarbanes-Oxley Act. Sarbanes-Oxley Act, you know, this was after the Enron case, where fraudulent manager were leading Arthur Andersen Consulting into a mis situation, because they were consulting Enron and accepted bad practices, and they were co-responsible. And today, Arthur Andersen Consulting is called Accenture. They rebuilt under a new name the company, and it's the consulting part of Arthur Andersen. And the Sarbanes-Oxley Act was the response of the parliament of U.S. to this case, to prohibit such behavior. And the fraud was happen in the internal reporting, internal control system. The internal control system is the audit of the company, which checks the system, whether they are doing right, whether everything is okay, whether there is fraud and so on. And this is in support of this. Internal control is a process effected by entities, board of director, management, and other personnel designed to provide reasonable assurance regarding the achievement of objectives in the following category: effectiveness and efficiency of operations, reliability of financial reporting, and compliance with applicable law and regulation. This is a high-level framework, which is more towards finance, probably more comparable with the COVID standard. It's built on five components, five pillars: control environment, risk assessment, control activities, information and communication, and monitoring. A monitoring and control environment, control activities, these three topics are related to control and monitor the enterprise, and it's primarily built for this, and was then projected into information security, but it's not really meant as an information security framework. Then ITIL, Information Technology Infrastructure Library, has a completely different view. ITIL is made after the question, when I have an IT department, how I should organize the IT department? And the question of the answer of this question was formed by ITIL, and ITIL is more CIO stuff, to see what CIOs are finding important. And from this point of view, it depicts a little bit another angle. It's about operating a data center and not about information security. And what they did make all regulation, which function is where in the IT department, how you organize your IT department, what functions you have, and so on. And security-wise, ITIL has also a book. The ITIL stack is a four-paper, a staple like this IT infrastructure library, how to organize a data center. And the security framework is a subset of ISO 27000. I have had a look at it and made student work to compare those two frameworks. And actually, it's not the full ISO 27000, but you can say vice versa. When you have an ISO 27000 certification, you don't need the ITIL security certification. So it's indeed a subset. Framework is a managerial model which provides guidance in the development and implementation of organizational governance structure. The core of the information security governance includes recommendation for responsibilities of members of an organization. So this is also clear. Then there is a last model. Yeah, by the way, ITIL is very ITIL is very important in the sense that ITIL has a large market share, a strong certification process, and many CIO believe in ITIL, that they try to align with ITIL standards. Information security governance framework. This is another framework. I don't want to go more from the governance side, how I should lead and assign responsibility to a member of organization. And the InfoSec governance responsibilities is a board of directors, trustees. Thing provides strategic oversight regarding information security and distinguishes the group, senior executive team members, senior management, and all employees, and has specific statements for those four groups, which need to be dealt with separately in any frameworks because the need of those groups are really different. You could also take IT people. This is only the governance side, but the IT people you could take as well. I think because of time, I do not go through the summary. And this was it about chapter 8. And then coming to chapter 9, which is briefly, we don't have too much time anymore, roughly an hour. This chapter is about security management practices, and as in every chapter, there is a words of wisdom. The theory there is no difference between theory and practice, but in practice there is. And I think this is very wise. So whatever you learn scientifically, and the book is very scientifically oriented, I try to give more practical approach to the things to make this more understandable, and that you don't lose yourself in this long list, that you reflect the list a little bit and on the goal and what is the content and compare them. But in practice, everything is a little bit different. The first and most important thing is the enterprise makes revenue. If the enterprise makes revenue, you have to secure that the revenue in future is there, and you have to be sure that you don't overspend security. These are the two concerns. And overspend security means that even if it's necessary, probably don't take the full set of options if the enterprise cannot finance it. These are like important things. And this is the practice, and this very nice poor model you have to know to get a judgment how you could organize and what are the options. It's kind of a set of options offered by one standard. If you know many standards, then you can look whenever you have to design something that is the most efficient and the best way to look at your enterprise. And it depends on the point of view, as I showed on the whiteboard, and it depends also on the need of the company, on the sector, and so on, how to turn this. Upon completion of this chapter, you should be able to list the element of key information security management practices, describe the key components of a security performance measurement program. Now we go to the point. It's about performance measurement. In performance measurement, I gave you this additional paper of the Swiss CISO Summit, and please look at this. These are only a few pages, and I used yellow for background information, then green, red for threats, and green for solutions. Look at this. I think this is a good overview. And this is then practice. Identify suitable strategies for implementation of a security performance measurement program, and discuss emerging trends in the certification and accreditation of information technology. Certification, I think everybody's pretty clear what it is. You have a set of rules and you certify that this set of rules is kept with. Accreditation, I'm not completely sure whether it's so much clear. We use the term in Switzerland, accreditation, as the entity which is above the certification authority. That when you want to be a certifier, you have to be accredited from the national authorities. Here, the term accreditation is a little bit differently used. How you use accreditation in Norway? Never heard this word. But in Switzerland, it's clearly the process. So when you want to open a certification authority, you have to be accredited. As an university, you have to be accredited to the national authorities that you get national funding. Otherwise, you can't receive national funding. This is like the top layer, and certification is then the practical layer, the one which does it. Here in the book, it's a little bit differently used. So let's go through this organization's strive to deliver the most value with a given level of investment. This is called the value proposition. So the effort is taken to create most value with a given investment. And I think this is now practically true. Whenever you are in an enterprise, you have a security budget. You have also budget in the IT department you can use for firewalls or for backups and so on. And you have the security, which is for the security office to do something. And it's not about to have security, it's about to do the best. And what is answering, which are the best controls? How to answer this? When you have 20 controls you should do, and how to select the one you can do? You have money for 5 and you should do 20. This is reality. How to realize what to do? Hey, come on. Did you hear risk analysis and the risk management? And in the risk management, you set priorities and then you cut the list. And then you verify with the management that you are right, that these are the 5 top priorities. And the management might say, 4 of them I'm agreeable, but number 12 is for us important because. And then he argues. So it's not about zero risk. It's about knowing the risk. A friend of mine was engaged by a billionaire as a risk manager. And then the first task he got is discussing about an acquisition. Like 800 million euro. So quite a lot of money for us. And then he says, the likelihood to fail is like 40 or 50%. Don't do it. And they had a meeting, and the boss decided to do it. When he got out, he came and said, Rolf, well done. You did it well. But if I would be shy to take risk, I wouldn't be billionaire. Because we have 50% risk, but if this deal works out, we have 5,000 million. And I go for this risk because it's calculable and I can take this risk. So this is business thinking. So we think zero risk, wonderful business things. Risk is part of life and we have to know it and to deal with risks. Development and use of sound and repeatable information security management practice brings organization closer to meeting this objective. So the repeatable thing is very important also in the measurement. One-time awareness measurement, no value. Awareness management assessment every 6 months and you see how it goes up and down, very useful. And then assigning which were the successful campaigns and which were the less successful campaigns and how things move around. And other issues are more important. Like for instance, 2 years ago, nobody was discussing about crypto trojan today is a big issue. So things move around. Then benchmarking in general. When you go in the topic of benchmarking, you as a CISO or as an employee of the Chief Information Security Office, we then rate the effort of others, of the employee and of the IT department. Guess how many friends you have there when you are measuring their performance. So even it sounds very analytical and logic, I just make benchmarking and giving figures out. These figures have impact and you blame some and others you praise and so on. This is a large political game. And before you do something like this, be sure that you are covered. Because what's coming out is not very nice and you could experience a lot of obstacles and pressures. So very important to know. Organization generate a security blueprint by drawing from established security models and frameworks. So this is what you take the frameworks, you adapt. Another way to create blueprints to look at past data by other organizations, we discussed this already before. Using this method, which is called benchmarking or external benchmarking, you compare your organization's effort to those of other organizations you feel are similar in size, structure, or in industry. So whether you benchmark against yourself over the years or against other companies, both is feasible. I think in other companies, the company itself is not that much interested, except there is a competition situation. Competition situation means the following. We in Switzerland, we thought our banks are perceived from abroad as Swiss bank, not a single bank. But when one Swiss bank has an incident, all others have the same disadvantage as this single one. Plus minus true. 1 year ago, the scenario changed. Today, large scale customer, 10 billion up euro, are coming and asking, yes, we have our deposit here, our wealth management, but please we want to talk to the security officer. And now it's a competing factor, how you organize your security, and has a completely different relevance for the enterprise. Imagine you are judged after the questioning of the security officer. This changes a lot in a company. So external benchmarking could be customer benchmarking. And this game changes around because when you have so much at risk at one place, you want to know to be sure that this place is secure. Benchmarking can help to determine which controls should be considered, but cannot determine how those controls should be implemented in Europe. Organization. So You could, for instance, clarify which are the exemption, which controls you don't want to take because you think it's not relevant for your enterprise. If the same enterprise type in your country thinks it's not wise to exclude it, probably you discuss with those guys. And this is called the typical way of the practitioners to make information sharing. Share not the details, but share the concepts, the philosophy behind. So current against past performance, we have this. Two categories of standards of due care and due diligence and recommended practices or best practices. Recommended practices is here used as the lowest level of security must have best practices is best of breed of industry. Whether it's best practices, it's probably good industry practices. And standards, due care and due diligence, this is like so much you have to do that you are not in jail. If you are not due care and due diligence, as a C-level person, you have a problem. Best practices include a subcategory of practices called the gold standard that are generally regarded as the best of the best. Yeah. Imagine in threat management and cyber threat intelligence, it would mean that you have to must have a cyber threat intelligence center and so on. This is something only very, very few companies can afford. Probably a shared cyber threat intelligence is affordable. So the best of the best has a price tag, and this price tag is unreachable for most enterprises. You must have a specific reason that you go on this level, just to be very clear. Standards of due care and due diligence. For legal reasons, certain organizations might be compelled to adopt a stipulated minimum level of security as to establish a future legal defense. They may need to verify that they have done what any prudent organization would do in similar circumstances. This is known as standards of due care. So be clear that the threshold you are on the safe side legally depends not only on the law but also on the industry practice. And when you are relevantly below the industry practices, you could be judged negatively in court. And this is the reason why information sharing between companies is very important. Due diligence requires an organization to ensure that the implemented standards continue to provide the required level of protection. And the required level of protection is easy written, but find out what is the required level of protection of this university, which doesn't even have a sound information security policy. Not that easy. And it's a political game. But now it's thought that it's coming here. Our letter, I forgot this from last time, we can send to Jörn Wolfson, which is the vice rector, and I think we do it, I have to answer René. Organization must make sure that they have met a reasonable level of security in all areas, that they have adequately protected information, as I said before, making efforts to improve individual areas to meet the highest standards. This is questionable. What do you think about this one here? You should have, before you go in a higher level of security, you should have everywhere baseline security. Are you agreeable? Sounds this reasonable? Yeah. Yes? More statements? Different statements? Just we need to reflect, otherwise it's boring. So when you didn't do the minimum, why you should protect something more? the crown jewel concept. The most precious information of the enterprise could be wise to protect anyway better, even everything else is not so well protected. For your personal situation, you have probably a flat, you live in a flat, but you do specific things in the safe because you consider this as essential for you. And this might be some papers like your testimony of university and education, might be some jewelry, whatever. You do this in the safe and on the bank. But the rest you don't protect as well. So this is completely in contradiction to this sentence. Just remember that we have to think about, in general I think it sounds logic, but we have to really reflect. Recommended security practices. Security efforts to seek to provide superior level of performance in the protection of information are called recommended security. Whereas security efforts that are considered among the best industry are termed best practices. Also, the terms are used interchangeably. And you know, these best practices and lessons learned and such expression are having an inflation. A friend of mine is very specific and says, lessons learned is only when you have the lessons identified and transmitted into a learning process. And most think lesson identified is equal lesson learned. And best practice or good practice, reasonable practice, industry practice, this is kind of how much inflation you want to give this. But best practice is probably best practices. What is the metric behind best? Is it most cost efficient, most secure? It's unclear, so it's actually not saying a lot. Best practice balance to meet the information asset with the need for adequate protection by demonstrating fiscal responsibility. So it depicts the metric of best practice is not really very clear. And give a compromise between protection level and adequacy and finance. Companies with the best plan may not be the best in every area. They may only have established a high quality or successful security effort in one area. So it's area dependent, it's need dependent, it's sector specific, and we have to consider all this when we go into this one. Selecting recommended practices. Industries that are regulated by law and standards are subject to government or industry oversight, are required to meet regulatory industry guidelines and security practices. So, like airlines, they have a high level of security and are required, airline control centers and so on, have a very high level standards of security. And you have to meet this when you are in the business, otherwise you will be closed. Medical or pharmaceutical, especially with the HIPAA Act from US, when you don't meet the required minimum standard, forget it, you are out of business, you lose your license. For other organizations of government and industry, guidelines can serve as excellent source for information about what is required to control InfoSec risk. And the InfoSec risk are for sure not the primary thing a CIO cares for. It's something which is for sure important, but as said, it's not under the top 10 rankings. When choosing from among recommended practices, your organization consider the following. Does your organization resemble the identified target organization? So bookkeeping. Industry. One produces tractors, one produces industry machines, one produces cars. Are you in similar industry? Do you face similar challenges? The threat model, is this equal or is it completely different? Is your organizational structure similar to the target? Also, organizational might have a lot of impact. Are the resources you expect similar to those called for better recommended for the recommended practice. Are you in a similar threat environment? We already discussed this. Limitation to benchmarking and recommended practices. So the biggest barrier to benchmarking in information security is that many organizations don't share results. A successful attack is viewed as an organizational failure and is kept secret if possible. This is partly true. Today, I perceive that many chief information security officers are very willing to share with peers what they experienced, to learn about. And there is the local optimum. Probably you hide everything and nobody knows. But the global optimum is when you have a case, you share it in your trusted community, and it's the only case of this type which happens in this community. When we were going for the first incident sharing entity in Switzerland, a case happened. We had two global scale banks. In one global scale bank, the case happened. 6 weeks later, the same case in the other global scale bank. And only every 3 years such an incident shared would mean that the effort to run the information sharing and analysis center is beneficial. It doesn't need every month something or so. But information sharing, when it's well done, it's very helpful. And this is why sharing increases and everybody says we should share more information. Now, I said to you there is a technology innovation cycle, and then when new ideas come out, there are the evangelists saying we need to share more, 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 and then already the bookkeepers are coming which want to administer this sharing, and the idea is to show, to note how much each of the parties are contributing, that there is no imbalance. And now, when you are measured, you make a measurement system, how many incidents you share, then you know the figure is how many incidents, so you share the less important one and the very important one you hide. And everything turns down. Benchmarking is an obstacle to the free will of expression and to the free will of trust in a trusted environment. And that's why benchmarking is very limited use in some cases. But benchmarking can be also good, like the paper I gave in addition. This is like professional association or information sharing cycles. This is different thing. An alternate to this direct dialogue is the publication of lessons learned in the security journals, yes. When it's in the security journal, every hacker can read it, and I think it must be already well mitigated. This is the problem that when you do information sharing, make it public, every hacker can use it, and it's a new risk. Then benchmarking, no two other organizations are identical. So you see disclaimer over disclaimer. So the inter-organization benchmarking is probably a little bit problematic. Organizations that offer products or services in the same market may differ dramatically in size, composition, management philosophy, organizational culture, technology, infrastructure, and planned expenditure for security. So, benchmark, if one gets one-tenth of the budget of the other one, why you should benchmark? When we go to benchmarking, I go quickly forward and want to show you a slide where everything is leading to. Yeah, this slide here. Slide 44. You see the security dashboard. This is the dream of the C-level people. You see security cost percent of revenue, and here you see it's 0.0, 2.4. and is marked as critical. The dark one are critical. Then you have six areas which are monitored. Server compliance, percent in type of specification, 97. Background checks, presenting higher creeper policy, 99%. So when you hire people, whether you make an according background check, so 99%, it means 100 new employees and one was not tested. Then desktop compliance, 95%, not that much critical, only moderate. Business conduct moving average new cases, 3, not critical. Disaster recovery percent, processes with tested plan, 96. What means a tested recovery, disaster recovery plan? We can question. Our financial regulator goes into the bank, ask where is the power switch and put off, and then the second side should take over without any second of interruption and loss of service. No loss of data. This is what they do. And they really practically go, put down and look whether it works. This is tested. They announce that they come, and then they know what is the procedure and you have to train for this. If they switch off, like we switch off here the light and everything is still running fine, it's okay. And they turn it on again. And hopefully, turning on doesn't make any problem. Because turning off is one type of incident, but going back into service and resynchronize the first data center is the second issue. So you have to train both. Not easy. But this is actually what disaster recovery means. The number of incidents, network incidents, which is considered as critical. And you see this dashboard is actually what the management wants. And this is kind of benchmarking. Benchmarking, self-benchmarking against the standards. And then they see this, the last year we have 99, and when we have the following year only 60% of personal background test, probably something is not good. And then you can compare over time, every month or something like that in very large enterprises. Just to give a little bit more insight. That offer products back on slide 12 or services in the same market may differ dramatically in size. So we have this. Knowing what happened a few years ago, which typical in benchmarking does not necessarily tell you what to do next. Yes, so the effort and the topics you have to cover changes from time to time. Then baseline. A practice related to benchmark its baseline in which the organization conducts an initial assessment of current performance, known as baseline. Process of recording current performance can be referred as an internal benchmark with the first benchmark constituting the baseline. And the InfoSec baseline measurement of security activities are used to provide a base for comparison of organization's current security performance against future performance, yes. I mean, we've been discussing this. Gartner Group. Who knows Gartner Group? Only one. So whenever you are in the IT business and you want to make strategic decision, most often Gartner is asked. Gartner is a research group which does not academic research, it makes practical research. And Gartner research is most recognized to tell where the market is going. Just an example, 1991, I was still working in UBS, bank in Switzerland, and then a guy from Gartner presented about network routers and said, look, today we have 20 router producers, and when we observe the market, in medium term, only 3 of the router producers will survive. But most likely in 10 years from now is only 1 available on the market. And you know Cisco made it. Cisco had in certain segments of routers in the year 2000 80%, 90% market share. No other could survive because the economy of scale of this production is so important. A similar fact you can observe in future is identity management. You have this bank ID, like I have, and then you have MinID, probably for government services. Do you have it? Who has it? Are you using this MinID? Yeah. And can you use it still for banking services? Stopped. For earlier on it was possible. And so we have many IDs. But the fact is that when we have like banking IDs in Switzerland, we have 3 different IDs in Switzerland for 6 million, for 8 million people, we don't fight against each other. We fight against Apple and Google. Apple Pay. And the economy of scale will make the market. In analogy to the router. And telling this, a study of a consulting company showed that we should reduce to 1 and have a little likelihood to survive with the Swiss payment system. A little likelihood. Because the other are so strong in identity management. And now European Union is discussing about identity management, how to do it. These are thoughts you should think of when the economy of scale, how does it impact things? So this is Gartner Group. I think you recognize it's very important. The findings they had is quite simple, and usually simple is also very few. Do you perform background checks on all employees? Do you have average employee recognize a security issue? So when there is a security issue, for instance, clean personnel, midnight, somebody is coming in, do they report it? Would they choose to report it? Would they know to report it to the right people? Knowing where to report can cost 2 billion euro. In Switzerland, files of Second World War were trashed of customer not being any more reachable. And the security guard brought these files to the Israeli church. It ended up in a court case and costed Switzerland 2 billion. Just because he was doing the right thing. By the way, from this 2 billion, around 2 or 3 million could be paid back to somebody which was detectable, and the rest went to the Israeli state. Then are enterprises' security policy updated at least on an annual basis, employee educated on changes and consistently enforced? Does your enterprise follow a patch update management and evaluation process to prioritize and mediate new security vulnerabilities? Makes also very much sense. Are the user accounts of former employees immediately removed on termination? 20 years ago, I quit in Switzerland, and they have still the same passwords on some systems. Are security groups representative involved in all stages of the project life cycle for new project? This is a hard one. It sounds very reasonable, but you know, security people are not all always beloved. And when you can exclude them, then some are trying this. Is it very possible, every possible route to internet protected by properly configured firewall? This means when you put your cell phone into the charger, this must be firewalled against the telecom network operator. I would say no. Is sensitive data on laptops and remote system encrypted? Are your information assets on the system they use regularly assessed for security exposures using a vulnerability analysis methodology? Very useful. Are system and network regularly reviewed for malicious software and telltales from prior attacks? So 12 findings. Indifferent to what is written in the book, you understand immediately each finding very clearly. This is Gartner. They don't make bullshit around with complicated formulation. They bring it to the point because they earn money for that. That they bring it to the point that you can act on it directly. The book gives criteria to create a judgment for you. This is also very worthwhile, but that you see those two. PCI DSS recommended practices. First, what is PCI DSS? Payment card industry standard for secure operation of payment card made some standards, and they are very specific to these devices. You know the device, you put the payment card in and then type the code. Build and maintain a secure network and system. Protect cold holder data, maintain a vulnerability management program, implement strong access control measures, regularly monitor and test the network. Here, this is kind of benchmarking, regularly monitor. Maintain an information security policy. These are the areas which are covered for the payment card industry. So you can take many of those standards and you will find 100 more standards, and then finally you have to decide what is the need of the enterprise you are in. And the need of the enterprise is very simplistic often. So for this university it would mean to have a security policy which is communicated to the student, that they know that this security policy exists, that they are regularly instructed, and that they know how they are allowed to use the assets of the company. And then you can dig into the other details. And here we have an unbalanced approach because network security is an extremely high level and human factor is an extremely low level. So after best practices, we have the last. The second last issue, I don't know whether we can cover all today. We have 20 more minutes. Performance measurement in InfoSec management. So let us first discuss about the term. So it's about performance measurement. And what we measure information security management. So we don't measure vulnerabilities. We don't measure firewalls, we measure information security management. Now the question is whether we measure information security management impact. Then we can measure also the number of incidents, the firewalls, the network and everything. And InfoSec management is good when there are no incidents. Agree? So it must have a policy, no incidents. So performance measurement is probably measuring information security management by indicator and the direct process, both of them. So CISOs often say it's not really measurable. And this is partly true, but partly not true. both is possible. And what we see here, in fact, they are measurable, but with which reliability, with which statement, what we can get out of it. We have seen in best practice that it's a little bit delicate, so we have to be very careful. Doing so requires the design and ongoing use of InfoSec performance management program based on effective performance metrics. So performance management program, yes, we can call this, but then we need effective performance metrics. What is a metric? It's probably more, yes, you can measure it, but it must be also storytelling when you measure it, and you must have an interpretation what it means. A scale. It's also a scale. So the metric is also to say what is good, what is bad, and where you are in, and so on, to understand the scale. Not that easy. In the book they say they need metrics and measurement interchangeable, a synonym, partly. This is practical literature. They don't know the difference, but we know. We are engineers. Information security performance management is the process of designing, implementing, and managing the use of the collected data elements called measures or metrics to determine the effectiveness of the overall security program. So when you collect data, you should have a purpose of the data, otherwise don't collect it. So it's quite often a practice that you collect many data which are not really worthwhile, but because you can do it, it's so cheap to store it, you store it. Performance measurement are data points or computer trends that may indicate the effectiveness of security countermeasures or controls, technical and managerial, as implemented in the organization. Here you see, before it was said one can measure it, now it has may indicate the effectiveness. More cautious, probably more right. Organization use three types of measurement: those that determine the effectiveness of the execution of the information security policy. So you make a policy analysis and on its effectiveness. Those that determine the effectiveness and efficiency of the delivery of the information security services. So when you have information security services, like backup, like encryption, like redundant networks, you can measure those. Those that assess the impact of an incident or other security events on the organization or its mission. Here it's business impact analysis. Today, chief information security officer is very relaxed and say, I don't mind the risk as long as it has no business impact. And we have to be very specific. A lot of students learn, especially in the technical courses, this is a risk and this is a risk and this could be a catastrophe and so on. Very interesting. But be aware, if the business impact is missing, doesn't matter. And the business impact of 10 million or 50 million kroner for a large-scale global enterprise is nothing. Once every 3 years, who cares if you can save otherwise a lot of money? According to NIST, Performance Management Guide for Information Security, the following factor must be considered during development, implementation, and information security performance management. Measurement must yield quantifiable information. So percentage, averages, numbers. Data that supports the measurement needs to be readable, obtainable, readily obtainable, so in time. Only repeatable information process should be considered for measurement. When you can measure only once and never again, why measure? And you can assess post-incident. Measurement must be useful for tracking performance and directing resources. So this is a quite a tough target. Measurement must be useful for tracking performance. So you have to prove that when you collect this, it contributes and directing resources, and that you can also better steer the information security of your network. Four factors are critical for the success. Strong upper level management support. Actually, it means that the upper level management requires to make performance management. Otherwise, you can forget it. You will be milled in the company, because nobody loves this. Practical InfoSec policies and procedures must be in place. Quantifiable performance measurement, so you can really quantify it, and result-oriented measurement and analysis, so you want to get out something out of it. Usually when students make in a diploma thesis, especially managerial students, questionnaires, they have some questions put together because they think it might be helpful, but they don't know what is the result for and how to analyze the data. And then I usually say, it's good that you make a questionnaire, but if you make a questionnaire, make an assumption what are the data outcome and tell me how you make the interpretation. And then he redesigns the questionnaire quite heavily, usually completely different afterwards. When an organization applies statistical and quantitative approaches of mathematical analysis to the processes of measurement of the activity and outcomes of the information, it's using InfoSec metrics. So here a good definition of metrics. And here, metric is more granular detailed measurement. By the term measurement is used for aggregated higher level results. This is just a hint. Before the process of designing, collecting, using measures, the CISO should be prepared to answer the following question. So, a little bit disclaimer. We know now it's delicate. You must have very good targets defined, very well-defined targets. And then what you should do, why should this measurement be collected? What specific measurement will be collected? How will this measurement be collected? When will this measurement be collected? Who will collect this measurement, and where at the point in the function process will this measurement be collected? This is only how you do it. So many things you can imagine, but probably you don't get access to. Probably the system administrator is prohibiting to give you this information. And you cannot do much depending on the organizational structure. Then when you make the measurement program, even with strong management support and information security measurement program, part of a security performance measurement program must be able to demonstrate value to the organization. So this is where you should start with, to show how you create with the measurement program value for the corporation. If you fail in this, forget all the rest. Once the most popular among the many references that support the development of process improvement and performance measures, it's the capability maturity model integrated in the CMMI from the CMMI Institute at Carnegie Mellon. Here I just want to say, imagine what the term means. Capability maturity model. So you assess a maturity, a security maturity to an organization. And this matrix, what is mature, what is not mature, is a little bit difficult. You know that the maturity is defined for persons, like you have when you are 16, you can drink alcohol, not in the Nordics. No? When you drink alcohol, 18, and when you can vote. 18, and when you can drive. Okay, so it's very clear. Threshold is 18, then you are mature. Is this true in the individual case? Nobody knows. Of those three, driving, drinking, voting, only the driving you have to make a certification. The other two you get for free. And you can have also sex and children probably, but this is a different story. So it's a good thought, and with the maturity model you can easily persuade managers because they are seeking after such things. Then another is the NIST 855 performance management. It has the activity identification definition of current InfoSec program. So you judge the procedure, the program, and development section of specific measures to gauge the implementation of effectiveness, efficiency, and impact of the security controls. So it's about whether you have the impact. And here is the InfoSec measurement process. First you create stakeholder interest, management buy-in, then you define the goal, you select the information security policy and guidelines procedures you want to do, then you start to implement it, then you make a level of implementation, the result, and then you discuss the business impact and how many dollars you want, and you go back to the stakeholders of interest and can do this many times. Specification, I think we discussed already quite a lot about this, about the collection. Measurement development approach, I think this is worthwhile to have a little bit more information. One of the priority in building an information security measurement program is determining whether these measures will be macro-focused or micro-focused. Macro-focused measurement examine the performance of the overall security program. So you could say like peer-level expert evaluation, is this a good program or not? Or you can make a micro-focus measurement example for an individual controller or group of controls with the information security program. Like this morning, I went to the washroom because I saw the washroom is open and I thought there is cleaning personnel in. And then I said, hey, I left my badge in my office and cannot go in, which was true. No questioning, nothing. Yes, of course I help you, and I was in the office. I could go in any office. Why they have even a key lock? Why he didn't ask me for any identity? He believed me. So I look trustworthy. Wonderful. But this would be a micro test. And this micro test, you are for sure a lot of successful. You know, I make also fun out of it. When I go in a company, I look always at the security, whether they leave me in. I say, hey, I'm here again. No security check, because they know me. I can go anywhere I want. Even I'm supposed to be guided after the entering the door, things like that. What is important is that the measurements are specifically tied to individual InfoSec goals and objectives. So they want to be a little bit neutral. You could also argue differently. You could say, why we need this? We can just make an example or two and the whole company will learn. We look who fails a lot and then go and fire this guy and the company will turn around. Everybody knows afterwards. This is a different approach. Then you should select priorities. I don't think I explained this more. Establishing performance targets. So whenever you make measures, you should say what is your target. And I think the target you expect should be a hypothesis you make at the very start. And then when you have this hypothesis, you can verify this with measurement. For instance, we could say this is NTNU is a world leading university between rank 100 and 200 and has world leading information security department and has also world leading information security internally. And then we can check, and then we see probably some deviation. This is how you could do a measurement template, measurement ID, goal, measurement type, formula, expected results, target, so expected result, implementation evidence, frequency, responsibilities, data source, reporting format, and measurement goal, formula, implementation evidence, frequency, responsibility, data source, reporting format. So you see quite a lot of reporting format you see here, double, but it shows a little bit how such a performance indicator should be described. And it's quite a lot of description, and I think you should go the principle out of it, that really when you measure something, it's expensive, it takes your time, it takes all those times, it takes system times, and then you should be very careful. And here you have examples. I gave you examples in my additional paper. I don't go into details in this. Implementation. Once developed, information security performance measure must be implemented and integrated into the ongoing information security management operation. So performance indicator is not something different. It's something which is within the company and is well integrated into security management. I think that is why we do it. And it must be an ongoing process, and it should be as simple as possible and as evident as possible that it contributes to the success of the company. Then here you have the NIST InfoSec performance measurement with a six-phase plan. I let this read you yourself, and these six steps are depicted here. Prepare data collection, collect and result, and analyze results, identify core corrective actions, develop a business case, and develop a business case. Business case is understood often something as income and activity, and you plan the activity that you can pay the income and make a win. Here the business